So this morning, we are continuing our summer series, Finding Hope in God's Promises, and we're actually finishing it. We're going to wrap up the Finding Hope series. If you are here with us for the first time this morning, and I have run into a few people already who are here for the first time, there's a basket on the back table in that area that we call the foyer. It couldn't be a narthex because that's north, right? So that would be our Westex, if we had one. Anyway, back there on the table, there's a basket, and there is a book that looks like that. In fact, it looks just like that. It says 199 Promises of God. You are welcome to take one of those with you and just be encouraged. And you can go back and check out the previous messages from this series. I am going to try and use the clicker, Elena, just to keep up with where I'm going if I remember that. Over the past 2 months this summer, we've been talking about the promises of God found in Scripture. We looked at saving promises. We looked at warning promises, guiding promises, motivating promises, comforting promises. And this morning, we're going to look at promises that lift us up. Are you ready to be uplifted this morning by God's Word? That's part of why we come together, because we just all made it through another week. And we're here to be lifted up by God's Word and hear what He has to say. As we've looked at His promises through this summer, this idea that it's more about Him has really stuck out to me. A lot of times we go to Scripture looking for just the right word. What do I need that's going to make me feel better? What do I need to hear from God? And His promises say more about who He is, about what He's doing, than about a certain situation that we might be looking for guidance or help with. It's about the big picture of being closer to God, walking with Him, is always going to be where we need to be, no matter what we're facing. And yes, He does give us very specific promises, and those do encourage us, but those promises tell us about our faithful God. You made it through another week. This was our first week of school, and so a special prayer to our goes out to our kids and our teachers who made it through the first week of school. Here at Central Christian Academy, we were able to be in person because we have a smaller school, and that was another blessing. But it was a long week. It was parents and kids getting used to wearing masks and getting signed in, and teachers figuring out how they teach with the desks separated and just doing all of those kind of things. So that our teachers, I know, are worn out this week. How about those of you that went to work? Did it leave you feeling a little bit tired, a little bit defeated or discouraged maybe? Maybe the things you had on your checklist didn't get checked off. The week didn't go the way you thought it would. Does any week go that way? We have great plans, don't we? Who wants to be done with coronavirus? Who wants to be done with masks, right? We have cute masks and kids have mask holders, and a lot of people have said, don't get so attached to your mask because we don't want them. We want to be done with them, right? Social distancing, being quarantined, all of these things weigh on us. They're hard, and we can recognize that they're hard. We don't have to pretend that they don't exist, because God promises to comfort us, to encourage us, and to be with us through these things. If you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling brokenhearted, if you're feeling alone, even in this room that's almost filled with people, or safely filled with people, right? If you're feeling defeated, maybe unworthy, unappreciated, or unloved, you've come to the right place, because God's Word is here for us today to lift you up, to encourage you, because our God listens to our cries. He wants us to come to Him with our difficulties. He doesn't ask us to leave our problems at the door and just put on a smiling face, which no one can see anyway. You have to smile with your eyes even more, right? You feel like when you're looking at people, like you want to tell them, I'm smiling at you, just so they know. God created you. not only to love Him and know Him, but to bring glory to His Son Jesus Christ, to show the world what God is like through Jesus. So whatever's happening in your life, whatever difficulty you face this week, whatever's waiting for you on Monday morning, your aim in life as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, is to bring Him glory. And some of those situations God has allowed so that you can show His strength, His power. You can glorify Him. And another good news for today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today you can start a whole new life with Him. So let's look at six scriptures this morning, uplifting promises from God's Word. If you're taking notes, and I would encourage you to do that just because I know that when I write things down, they stick a little bit more. Here are the six passages we're going to look at. You have a blank note sheet in your bulletin. We're going to start off in the Old Testament, in the book of Lamentations. These are laments or songs of sorrow, prayers of sorrow from Jeremiah to God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As I read those verses, did you start singing the song in your head? I wanted to sing, they're new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Great is your faithfulness. The verses just before this, the writer said, I remember my affliction, my wanderings, and my soul is downcast. Here's an example of a man pouring out his heart to God. And today, God calls us to do that same thing. Following Jesus Christ, becoming His follower, doesn't mean that we ignore pain and suffering. It doesn't mean that in the American tradition, we just put on a smiling face and just plow through, or we grin and bear it. God doesn't tell us to do that anywhere. He tells us to let Him know when things are going poorly. He tells us that He wants to hear from us because He's our good Father. He loves you and He wants to know what's happening in your life. He knows it already, right? Because He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. But when we pour out our hearts to Him, we have a shoulder to cry on. And that's what we're here for as a church as well, to be able to pour out our struggles to one another, to be able to pray with someone, to weep with someone. That's why we're here. We acknowledge the difficulties, but we have hope because God's love is steadfast and it never ceases. If we read this verse in Hebrew, which I can't do, the word for love is hesed, H-E-S-E-D, and that talks about God's consistent love, His loyalty to His covenant promises that He made with His people. That's the kind of love God has for you. It's faithful. It never ends. It's always there through the darkest night until the morning dawns. No matter how difficult yesterday was or today might be, no matter how long the night may seem and how dark it is, and our nights are going to get longer and darker. I'm sorry to remind you of that, but we have to remember that in wintertime in Western New York. The sun always rises. Until Jesus returns, until God gives us a new heaven and a new earth, that sun will continue to come up just as it has for thousands of years. God's promises are true and God is with us, not only through those dark nights, but the reminder in the morning that here's a new day. God's mercy is new to you. It's fresh, just as His love and His compassion and His care is. No matter how bad yesterday was, you're on my... This is yesterday, right over here on the left. Get things backwards when I'm up here. No matter how bad yesterday was, tomorrow the sun is going to come out. I'm not going to start singing Annie for you. But tomorrow the sun will shine. It's going to warm us up again. It may even dry up some of the rain, which we need anyway, right? But God is going to be there. He's going to be there. And you get a new start every day. No matter how bad it was yesterday, you can say, Lord, here's a new day. Let's go through this together. He's there with us. It's like a reset button. Or for our gamers, it's the respawn point, right? You're going to show up somewhere else on the map. The bad guys aren't there, right? You got new lives. You got your potion back. All of your hearts are back. You're ready to start over again. I see some faces nodding. You know what I'm talking about. We have the promise that God is going to be faithful again and again. Joshua 1:9, this verse is all over my house because it's been made into all kinds of beautiful poster art. And someone said, do you know you have that same one in three different rooms? We didn't even realize it. But Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? This is God commanding Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You will find this verse somewhere here in our church building, and you can do a scavenger hunt later and see if you can find it. But it's a great reminder. God says, don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous, because I promise to be with you. The God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you across the Red Sea, the God who is all-powerful. And for the Israelites, they were about to go into the promised land. Joshua was there as the new leader. He was Moses' right-hand man, and Moses is now gone. He's been taken up to heaven. And God is saying, okay, here's the promised land. It's all yours. You just have to get rid of all the ungodly inhabitants first. And they were quaking in their sandals. So God said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Because I am going to be with you, just like I was with you as you thought, how are we going to cross this ocean in front of us? It would be like looking at Lake Erie, standing at the shore and saying, we're going to just walk to Canada, no problem. God parted the waters and they walked on dry land. That same God, that same power is here with you. So he says, don't be afraid, don't lose heart. Just as Jesus promised his followers, I will be with you even to the ends of the earth. I'm going to be here with you. You're never going to have to face it alone. Our hearts can be lifted up this morning, knowing that God is with us, and that no matter how alone you may feel, the truth is, our feelings are real, right? We feel alone, we feel discouraged, but the truth of God's word tells us you're not alone. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he is by your side, and in fact, the Holy Spirit dwelling with you. So you have God in you, with you, around you. You're never alone. He has your back. We go turn over to the Psalms. Psalm 46. Tony read this for us this morning. He read the whole thing because it's just an amazing psalm. But at the very beginning, verses 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. We can be lifted up. We can be strong because our mighty God is protecting us through any problem, through any calamity. He is our refuge. He's our source of strength. He helps us when we're in trouble. And in this verse, when we're facing global problems, we hear things all the time about global warming. What's our climate going to do? What's going to happen to sea levels? What's going to happen to temperatures? What's going to happen across the world with COVID? Nations have shut their borders. States have closed their borders. We have people at home this week quarantining because they went to a state that was on the naughty list. That happens, right? We have to go see people. We have to live our lives. But we have all kinds of things happening in the world around us. And then just recently, again, hurricanes. earthquakes, floods, mountains moving. God is present. He's not sitting in heaven thinking, wow, what a mess down there. I wish them well. Thumbs up. Go for it, people. He's with you. He's present. He's here through those difficulties. And people say, well, why would God do all these things to us? Our earth is suffering the pains of sin. God created it perfectly. We didn't experience that, and we've never experienced it, but we will. We will see when God puts everything right again. He's in complete and total control. And as people go through those difficulties, he says, here's my hand, take it. You don't have to go through this alone. And for people that may be in such dire situations that they lose their lives, if they're followers, where are they going? He's taking them home, right? That's how present he is. In this storm, in this trial, I'm going to take you home with me. This is your time. And that is a comfort to believers. If you're an unbeliever listening, that doesn't sound very comforting. Well, you may die. Guess what? All of us, unless Jesus returns right now, all of us will face death. That's part of the curse of sin. Death came into the world. But what's going to happen next? Where are you going to spend eternity? God is here, and he's calling out, spend it with me. We use the word sovereignty as we talk about a nation that is in control of what's happening. God is sovereign over all his creation. He's in control. Next, we're going over to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Isn't that a great sound? Not for mom, but for us hearing kids, right? We're glad you're here today. We really are. Romans 8, 37 to 39. This is a really long passage, but I'm just pulling out two verses from it. You can read the rest of it this afternoon. Because he starts with no, so you know there's more stuff going on before this. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what you're facing right now, you've conquered it. Because Jesus conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered the grave on the cross. And as he rose again and is now seated at the right hand of God, Ephesians tells us that we're seated with him. That's how God sees us. Already at home in heaven, perfected, righteous, no problems to speak of. That's how God looks at us. He's not waiting for you to mess up. He's not hoping you can just do it right so that you can make it to heaven. He already sees you there because our God is the Alpha and Omega. He sees from the beginning to the end. He knows the whole trajectory of your life. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Scripture says not a single one of his sheep will be lost. God will bring you safely to him in heaven. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And you are a conqueror. You've conquered whatever is going on today, tomorrow, and the next week. You've already conquered it, made it through, because God sees you at home, finished, complete. But his love is always there. And nothing on earth can separate you from his love. That means he's never giving up on you. He's the perfect father who is not looking for you to get straight A's or to make the goal on the team or to be the best at whatever. He's the father that says, I love you, I love you, I love you. In your sin, in your frailty, I still love you. And I've sent my own son to take care of all of that for you. He loves you, and nothing will separate you from that love. I hope that lifts your spirits this morning. Because that's why he gave us his book, to encourage us so we wouldn't go through life wondering what's going to happen. Again, in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Where do you look for comfort and peace? As we talked about last week, we can try all kinds of different substitutes to just try to numb the pain, to try to make us forget our problems. There's all kinds of things out there that will do that, and they're not all illegal. Binging on Netflix is a form of forgetting everything, right? You find a show and you're just like, oh, I don't have to think about anything. I'm not saying that's sinful. I'm just saying a lot of times we turn to a lot of other things to forget our problems. Sometimes it's our relationships. Sometimes it's our families, just seeing what they're doing. Sometimes it's our work. If we're just successful enough, that's what's going to make me feel better. Building wealth, trying to control all of the aspects of your life that are uncontrollable, but we still try. Or we can turn to God, the one who created you, the one who knows exactly what you're going through, the one who knows you inside and out better than you know yourself, and we can experience his love and his forgiveness. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, your sins are forgiven. All of your past is wiped clean. And God looks at you through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees his own Son taking care of all of your sin. That lifts us up. That encourages us. Maybe you've tried everything else. And maybe today you're ready to humble yourself and say, God, I need you. People say religion is a crutch. It's for people who are too weak to make it through life on their own. God says, I know life is hard. I want to help you. Why wouldn't you want someone to walk through life with you and help you through life? Why would you say, I want to do this all on my own and just struggle through it? Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, came to show us what God looks like, to show us what his love looks like. Did he go to the wealthiest people, to the most popular people, to the people who would have the most influence in the society? They're the ones that turned their backs on him. He went to the people who recognized they needed him, and he loved them, and he cared for them. And he does that for you. Even if you are wealthy, popular, and influential, he still loves you. You just have to realize that you're not going to do it all on your own. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't do enough good works to get into heaven. You can't build hospital wings and donate enough money, because God says, I want your heart. That's it. But that's everything, right? Giving your heart to Jesus Christ means giving him your all, just like he gave you. And finally, this continuation of the theme of confession, getting rid of our guilt, getting rid of our burdens. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Christian life is a journey from salvation here on earth, recognizing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all the way to eternity in heaven. And along the way, believers are called to love God, to keep his commandments. In Romans 7, 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul said, I have the desire to do what is right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. If the Apostle Paul can be that honest and transparent with us, why do we try to be perfect? God calls us to obey him, because that's the best way to go through life, to live our lives the way that he calls us. But he knows that in our weakness, we sin, we fall, we fail. And he says all you have to do to return to peace with me, to have your sins erased and that guilt and that shame gone again, is just to confess your sins and I'll cleanse you from that unrighteousness. God is not re-saving you at that point. He's not removing punishment, but your relationship with him is now clean again. Just like as a kid, when you did something wrong and you're waiting all day for your parents to figure out what you did, right? They're eventually going to find out, aren't they? You learn that as you get a little bit older, that they're going to know. The dent in the car that you borrowed backing out, or whatever you spilled and dropped, no matter how hard you tried to clean it up, they're eventually going to find out. God knows. God knows when we sin, when we fail. And instead of waiting and hoping he won't bring it up to us, we can just go to him and say, I'm sorry. Father, forgive me. I failed. I didn't do what you called me to do. And as a kid, we realized that made us feel a lot better too, didn't it? To get that off our chests and just to say, ah, I don't have to keep carrying that weight around. When you feel like you're losing the battle, like you're not making any progress as a believer, don't lose heart, because God calls us to come to him, confess, to be forgiven. The word confess means naming our sin, admitting it to God, not blaming anyone else. I'm going to date myself and say, you can't say the devil made me do it. He tries to influence us, but it's still our own decisions, right? God says, with every temptation, I will go through it with you, and there is a way through it. If our sin affected someone else, at work, at home, or in the church, then we need to humbly confess it to that person as well and ask forgiveness. And then that relationship too becomes clean and whole again. And you don't have to look at that person feeling guilty. God calls us to be honest, to be humble with him and with others about our struggles. With our masks on, it's hard to have those kind of conversations. But we need to be transparent with each other as a church family. We need to be willing to tell someone when we've done something wrong and say, please forgive me, please help me with this. Or just another struggle and say, would you pray with me in this? I'm not perfect and I can't do this alone. Not only will God forgive you, and others in the church are called to forgive you, but we're here to encourage each other, to lift each other up. That's part of being stronger together. Stronger in our weakness, because we're willing to admit it. Jesus Christ, God's Son, took the weight, the punishment for our sins on himself. And as he came to earth, he demonstrated God's love, his unconditional love, his sacrificial love, his all about others love. He showed us what that looks like by dying on the cross when he was totally innocent. He paid the penalty for my sins, for your sins. It was the only acceptable way that God could forgive the sins of an entire world. The death of his own son on the cross. But then he rose from the dead, victorious, a conqueror. He destroyed the attachment of sin and death, and his followers can have eternal life just as he demonstrated for us. He was lifted up. He was honored by the Father, seated at the right hand of God. And Scripture tells us that every knee will bow to Jesus Christ, whether here on earth or on the day of judgment. So if you're listening this morning and you've never bowed your knee to Jesus, you've never accepted your need for him, do it here on earth. Because this is when you still have the chance to have eternal life with God. If you ignore him now and you wait till the day of judgment, then unfortunately that judgment means eternity in hell, in darkness, in pain, separated from God, separated from all goodness. We have so many blessings that we experiencing that we're experiencing here on earth, even on the worst days of our planet, we're still experiencing God's presence. Hell is not going to be like that. It's not going to be a party with your friends. And Jesus warned people about it so many times because God does not desire that any should be in hell, any should face that judgment. His desire is that people would recognize that He is their loving Father. So I would encourage you, if you're hearing God calling you this morning, respond to that call. Come talk to me after the service, or visit me during the week if you're listening online and you're not able to walk up and talk to me. Don't let another day go by. Come to Jesus today. He will lift all of your burdens, and you'll have the relationship that will last a lifetime. So some parting thoughts. What do you do when you're feeling discouraged and defeated? Someone this week was talking about fear and how many of us are living in fear of getting sick, or fear of what's next, fear of our finances, fear of so many things. And fear is often an indicator of what we think is the most powerful. The Old Testament says, walk humbly before your God. Fear Him. Recognize that He is all-powerful. He is the Creator. If we fear something, then we're going to do whatever that thing tells us to. That becomes your little g God. That's the thing that's running your life. If it's perfect health or the best bank account or whatever it is that you're fearing, then that's what you are looking to for. What do I do next? Instead of God. God calls us to turn to Him instead. When you feel alone, how do you connect with God? What do? God gives us the avenue of prayer to tell Him things that He already knows. But when we say them, when we pour out our hearts to them, we recognize that He's listening, He cares. And it changes our attitude. It changes and reminds us that He's powerful, that He's listening, that He's there. Are you praying to spend time with Him? Listening to worship music? As we sang this morning, just recognizing who God is, that He will hold you fast, singing those, even if you don't have a great voice, sing it and be reminded that God is with you. And of course, He speaks to us through His Word. We need to be in His Word on a regular basis so that we can hear from Him. When you're afraid, do you worry or do you pray? I'm so guilty of trying to figure things out first instead of just saying, God, I need help with this. I need wisdom. Instead of, okay, I've done everything I could, now let's ask God. That should be our first place. Are we focusing on our feelings or in the truth of God's Word? When we feel alone, when we feel discouraged, those are real feelings. But do we believe that we're alone? Do we believe that God has answers, that He can carry us through? That's where we need to go. Mark's going to come. Oh, the last one. I've said it enough times today, but just in case you missed it, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you heard nothing else today, you need to know Him as your Savior. Mark's going to come and we're going to sing our closing promise song, but let's pray before he does. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being with us this morning. Thank you for being with us in our darkest days, our most difficult nights. Thank you for lifting us up. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who through Him we are forgiven and we have the right to be called your children. We have a home waiting for us in heaven. Thank you and praise you, Father. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.